You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Dance Off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilp.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for the Red Bull to kick in here.
We're all still crying because they canceled Daredevil and we'll never see it again, ever. Oh my
there,
God.
There will never be another
never,
Daredevil
ever.
Show ever.
Even though Marvel has their own channel, and they'll never do
more. What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
What is wrong with people? Let's do some math here. Netflix and Marvel do TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel's owned by Disney. Disney announces they're going to start their own streaming studio. Suddenly, the Netflix shows start getting canceled.
It's not because of ratings, people.
It's not. Yeah, like it's simple math. It's not because all of a sudden, oh no, comic book movies are going the way of cowboy movies, and everybody's tired of comic book TV shows, and
Now, don't get me wrong. That will happen.
Oh, it'll happen. I'm sure it will eventually, but not for a bit. I mean.
No.
Hollywood is so starved for content. Oh, I'm sitting on my headphone cable. You guys carry on without me.
Hollywood is so starved for content.
Yeah, like they're so starved for content that they're remaking every single old movie, every single old TV show. And here's this, you know, 75 years of prose and stories that they can tap into. It's not going to go away anytime soon.
Not to mention that they're remaking movies just to have them as computer animated. Like The Lion King and The Grinch. Are they not just the same movies, but redone with computer animation?
Well, I think The Lion King movie is live action. Instead of
not from what I've seen.
It can't be live action.
Well, it's okay. All right. CGI animals and stuff like this, but it's supposed to be more realistic, right? Like live action as opposed to traditional animation.
Yeah, but it's the same movie.
Well, they did the same thing with
apparently they cut Scar's song probably because it was too evil.
Didn't they do the same thing with like Cinderella or something recently, or Beauty and the Beast? No, it was Beauty and the Beast. They did a live action Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, but that was actually anyways.
But it was live action because there were actual
live people,
people in there. Yes,
because but I'm sure the Beast was CGI.
Yeah, his head was
CGI. And I'm sure the talking candlestick was CGI.
But there are no human characters in The Lion King. That makes that a fully animated movie.
Well, it depends
just
on your
computer,
definition of animation.
Computer. But there are no real animals in it.
Okay.
There are no real humans in it.
But
the reason why this is in my mind right now is because I'm watching these trailers for that new Star Wars. Star Wars
Galaxy Adventures. Is it? Or?
Yeah. It looks like Star Wars, just redone with
it is
computer animation.
No, they specifically said that they're going to retell the first three movies.
I can retell it.
Just
here's
as
my
episodes.
DVD, my CD, my Blu-ray. I'll
oh my gosh!
Watch it.
Have you guys ever seen? There was a guy a little while ago. He used to do ASCII characters, like ASCII animation, the text animation. You know how you get like a smiley face and stuff. And he did ASCII animation of the entire Star Wars movie in I think it was a minute or 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally, you know, do, and it's all the characters, and they're like, and you see the landscape go, and then the desert. Oh, those are awesome.
I mean, I just don't understand it. Like, is it just because there's nothing else to do that they're doing this? Or do they think that...
Brand recognition.
Do they think the next generation just can't watch older stuff?
Well, the next generation doesn't watch older stuff. Like, aside from Mr. Tweedle, who has a perchance a Piccadilly, if you will, for older stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember when was the last time I watched a movie from the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when was the last time I watched a movie from the 40s. 50s?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I just don't.
Yeah.
So the same thing with these guys. I mean, somebody born 10 years ago, what's the chances they're going to watch a 1977 flick about Star Wars if their parents aren't okay. geeky boneheads like us?
But we're talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, okay, well, Citizen Kane, greatest movie ever.
Yeah.
I'm 49, I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either, but I've seen the entire Simpsons spoof of it. If you take all the Simpsons clips and put them together, you'll have the whole movie right there.
Like, that's what I mean. Like,
But that's not Star Wars. Star Wars, but Star Wars, and I'm honestly not even the biggest Star Wars fan, but like, it's Star Wars.
Yeah, but for a film aficionado, it's Citizen Kane. How can you not watch? How can you go to a movie theater and watch a dramatic movie and not have seen Citizen Kane?
Like, because I was busy watching Star Wars.
Like, don't get me wrong. You and I are on the same page. Yeah. I would rather watch Star Wars back to back every single episode 3 weeks in a row than watch Citizen Kane, because I'm a Star Wars aficionado myself. But I can just see like that. I can see the other side of the coin.
Okay, so if they came out with a computer animated Citizen Kane, you think those fans might have an issue with that then?
Probably. Yeah, like if they ever tried to remake Citizen Kane, I guarantee you there's going to be like torches in the streets.
Yeah.
Like you just don't touch certain properties. And Citizen Kane is like, you know, oh my gosh, you never bring back Gwen Stacy. Gwen Stacy's dead forever. Yeah. Never touch Gwen Stacy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, like, it was explained to me once like this. An average blockbuster movie spends about $100 to $200 million just in promotional advertising. If you take an existing property and remake it, you can cut that budget in half. Because people are already, oh wait, I used to watch Magnum PI. There's a new Magnum PI TV show.
Every T-show.
Let's check out the new Magnum PI TV show.
It's not.
Because, you know, I know who Magnum PI is. He's that guy with that thing, with that car.
And the butler, who's not really the butler. He's the actual owner.
Let's check it out. So immediately you've got your foot in the door. And in today's marketplace where if, like, Cheers, right? Cheers ran for X number of years, number one TV show ever. But the first 3 years had shit ratings. Mm-hmm. The first 2 years, I'm not 100% sure. And it wasn't until another show was canceled and it took that time slot that it really picked up. Nobody gives a show that long of a chance anymore.
Nope.
Shows don't even get a full season anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what was that show last year? 2 episodes and it was already canceled. You know? And it's just like... So they're vying for that immediate attention, and if they can get a hook, they take it.
Yeah, but for me, if you're going to make an animated series or whatever this is, I don't know if it's a movie or a series, but there's so many stories. Star Wars Rebels?
Yeah, but that's the thing.
That's awesome.
That's the thing, right? They did Rebels, they did droids, they did Ewoks, they did, what's the one before Rebels?
Clone Wars.
Yeah. So they have explored other material before tapping into this.
And I know they've kind of canceled most of the good stuff, but we won't get into that conversation. Like, but there's still lots of interesting ideas they could do.
Their mentality for the Star Wars one has to be like, let's try to get to younger viewers.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I don't know, when I was like 20, I sat down and actually watched the Star Wars movies in order properly. But I knew everything from seeing them on TV a million times, but I had no idea which plot line was from which movie, because like it was all just a jumble of TV movies being a kid. And so maybe they're, you know, trying to prevent that from happening. They're going to get people into Star Wars. They're going to get 5-year-olds and 10-year-olds into Star Wars instead of Fortnite.
Have you seen the trailer for it?
I haven't seen the trailer.
At the beginning where Vader comes in and slaughters all of the Rebel soldiers.
So it's not for my 5-year-old.
He lifts the last one up and just kind of throws him against the wall.
Yeah, but there's no blood or guts. Well, that's no more violence than a Bugs Bunny cartoon, Roadrunner.
Which you also don't see on TV anymore, so just saying.
It's like I was telling Martin just before the show, is apparently Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer TV show is the next
target. I saw that.
There's just too much bullying in that for kids to watch anymore. And Santa's mean. Oh,
I mean,
wow.
Santa is mean.
He is mean, but he turns himself around.
He's literally supposed to scare kids to be good all year. He's literally the stick that you beat your children with to behave.
And bullying is the whole point of the story.
Yes. Like, and
he rises
above. What? It's a life lesson for you. That is how the real world works. Nobody wants you unless you're useful.
I'll give you a life lesson, you punk.
What you were just talking about a second ago, Dan, about watching the Star Wars movies in order just reminded me of something. Oh, it was on, I don't even know what it was. It was on the radio or something, and Star Wars was coming back to the theaters. I can't remember, but somebody said, the announcer goes, oh, if you like Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, you're going to love Star Wars. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just, like, how many times do we get the exact same story over and over again from Marvel Comics?
Yeah.
Right? Like, this whole Uncanny X-Men that I'm trying to follow, and the new X-Man is coming back, and it's just like, oh, I've read this before, guys.
And they don't even bother to change the names.
You know, I've read this before, so I get it, but, you know, it's a different medium. It's going to be a cartoon. It's going to be serialized on their animation channel or whatever streaming service they're going to do, and I know on several occasions, I always thought, what would Battlestar Galactica look like with a bigger budget? And we got that. What would Star Wars look like if somebody else filmed it, if it wasn't George Lucas? Well, now we're getting that. Like, I don't know. I mean, am I super excited that it's coming out? No.
But there's a difference because, like, Battlestar Galactica was, like, a campy show, right? Like, it didn't have anything. Yeah. And then it did come back, and it was completely redone. You know, it was a drama in space, not campy sci-fi show.
And it worked, though. Like, there's an example of a relaunch that was, it was an existing property, and we were familiar with the characters, but it was interesting enough on its own that everyone could say, you know, here's an example where rebooting a TV show worked. So let's reboot Cheers.
But, like, on the other hand, though, the original Battlestar Galactica ran for, like, one season, right?
Yeah, well, I personally consider Galactica 1980.
Okay, 1980, yeah. And I was going to say it had a spinoff as well. But, like, it's not Cheers that ran for 11 seasons.
The time that the light bulb went off in my head when I realized that Battlestar Galactica was only one season. Like, for me, Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica action figures and comic books and stuff. Like, I read the Marvel Battlestar Galactica comics and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, later on, I'm like, really? It was only one season? Really?
How many episodes?
Well, back then, right? 20-some-odd episodes or some, or 16 or 17. It's not like a 9-episode run of Firefly.
Yeah. So you're referring to the series where they got the Earth and the two of them are running around Earth.
Yeah, that was Galactica 1980 with the white uniforms when they time traveled.
And they were driving around in their motorcycles.
Those motorcycles that could fly with those teeny tiny little wings that just like... I was like...
And they cloaked too, right?
Yeah, they cloaked and stuff. And it was like Starbucks kid and Apollo's kid or something like that. Oh, man. Adama's walking around with the big beard. I was like, I don't know how we're getting on the topic of TV shows, but it's awesome. Airwolf, right? Airwolf was on. And then the last season of Airwolf was done by a Canadian production company with zero budget. So they fired everybody. They brought in some, you know, no offense intended, but some lesser known actors. And all of the special effects footage was cut from the previous season. They didn't even have a helicopter, you know? And you could tell because, you know, you'd see like Ernest Borgnine, the back of Ernest Borgnine getting out of the helicopter. And then all of a sudden cut to this big fit trim guy walking away from the helicopter. You're like, hey, come on.
Walking away from a cardboard box.
That's right. It's
supposed to be the helicopter.
Yeah.
So, Galactica 1980 was... was interesting, to say the least. It wasn't quite as fun. But, I mean, that whole TV show was full of stock footage and stuff. Like, you always saw the exact same Viper. You know,
Yeah.
You know, it's a TV show. The budget isn't there. But whatever. I thought it was good.
Speaking of TV shows, should we talk about The Walking Dead? Or I know you haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it, but you guys go ahead.
I know Dan and I had a debate about it the other day.
Did you?
I was actually, like, as we were messaging each other, I was like, man, I'm so glad I'm finally caught up on something so we can talk about something.
You guys go ahead and talk about it. I'm all right. I'll catch up.
The whispers are officially there.
Now, I stopped reading. I used to read Walking Dead by trade paperback. Mm-hmm. And the last trade paperback I read was the spikes in the ground and everybody's head on it during the film festival.
The film festival?
The fair. Yeah. The fair, whatever.
We mentioned that last week, but we were trying to keep people on the down low, although Sam dropped several hints about
spikes. Well, that was a comic book that was a year old. Spoilers on a comic book that's a year old.
Yeah, but the TV show is starting to talk about doing the fair, and they have to get the communities together for the fair.
Well, that's
and
not a spoiler to anybody who's read the comic book a year ago. I'm sure there's one guy out there who doesn't know the comic book exists watching the TV show going, oh, no. I'm assuming it's that storyline.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because I thought it was great. Like, I knew they were there because all the whispering and the herds going, changing directions and stuff like that, right? But they're fighting, and Dan said it's almost like a horror show because they're fighting.
The direction in this episode, it was the mid-season finale, and like the entire thing had felt like a 70s horror movie. Like it was a slow buildup of stuff happening, and the final scene takes place in a graveyard with thick fog so you can't see anything. And it was just it was set up, and there was one shot where it was a shot from above of them going into the graveyard or whatever. And I was like, they've never done a shot like that in Walking Dead before.
Yeah.
Like a shot showing the characters doing something from afar.
Yeah.
Well, it's a new showrunner this season, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And this one was a very different take on it, but I was also thinking it is a show about zombies. Why does it not feel like a horror show sometimes?
Yeah,
it's just shock and awe instead of horror.
Yeah,
well, to be honest with you, that is the whole reason why the Walking Dead comic book kind of survived, is because it wasn't just a horror schlocky zombie thing. It was about the people, right?
Yeah.
I did catch, I'm just dumping it on my PVR because I got a bunch of other things I'm watching right now. But I did catch 4 or 5 minutes of it between two TV shows or something, or it was on in the background while I was doing laundry or something. And other than Michonne, who looks a lot different, I didn't recognize any of the actors.
Yeah.
Is it just a whole new crew?
It did another time jump.
Oh.
Yeah. So little...
Time jumps.
Why can I never... Judith. Little Judith is now... Basically, she's taken over the role of Carl. Right.
Anyway, so they pulled a Galactica 1980.
So they're in the graveyard, and the fog's getting thicker and thicker. You can't see anything, and the herd's catching up to them because Eugene is wounded, and obviously they get to the other side and they can't open the gate.
Yeah,
it's rusted, right? So standoff time, and
because they can't just climb the gate.
Well, they tried, but Eugene's
Eugene.
He's dying. Okay, see you later.
Eugene's I don't sports.
He's actually not the Eugene you remember.
What?
Because there's a scene where there's some walkers coming and he just walks up and decimates them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I need to tell you about the fact that I can make bullets.
But I thought it was, I mean, if you haven't, besides Martin, if you haven't watched it yet, I'm sorry, but I'm going to spoil it because, they're fighting and Jesus is going all Bruce Lee. Like he's jumping and kicking and slicing and he's all over the place, right?
Yeah.
And of course they get the gate open.
Wasn't he trying to be all pacifist? The guy with the stick?
This is 6 years later.
What's the name of the guy with the stick?
Morgan.
Morgan,
he's on fear.
He ended up on fear?
Yeah. So everybody, he's like, okay, you guys get through there because it's only open this bit. I'll hold them off, right? So he's fighting them. He chops down one zombie, takes a swing at another big-ass guy, and he ducks. I'm going, oh, yeah. There they are. And all of a sudden, these 5 or 10 or I don't know, other guys come running in. and the rest of the guys behind the gate, get him! They start fighting, and as soon as they start fighting, like, Michonne cuts down this one guy, and he goes, and she's like, she's looking at her sword covered in fresh blood, right? And she's like, what the hell? And Daryl's like, come over and look at this. And they've got sewn up on the back of their head, and he pulls off the mask, and it's a human. He's like, oh, it was a great episode. I think it's getting better, is that? I don't know. It's just, it seems to be picking up steam, and now, of course, it's the mid-season.
Well, and like, I don't know, you kind of glossed over the and didn't jump to a giant spoiler, but a main character dies again.
Oh, yeah.
So now we're 6 years from the last time jump without, like, four main characters who are still alive in the comic. I'm glad Sam's not here to be angry about this, but I'm, you know, I'm interested to see where it goes.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, it was a great episode. I actually binged it and watched like the last three episodes all in a row because I hadn't been caught up and wanted to check it out before I got spoiled. And yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't like is that in the trailer for the season, they made the whispers sound like they talk really slow.
Yeah.
But they don't. They just actually literally whisper in a normal voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, they don't sound like walkers.
Yeah.
Hissing or something. So I thought that was a bit of misdirection in the trailer.
Yeah. And we are debating whether this main character is actually dead or not, because the big guy that killed him whispered something in his ear. Whispered. He's like, you don't belong here. And why give a message to somebody that they should pass along when he's dead? But anyways.
Spitting in his face as he dies, probably.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, I think he's probably dead because, like, the rest of the cast members don't. Like, the rest of the characters don't try to help him. They're like, he's dead. Like, you know,
they all run out and then get
attacked. but they didn't go, it's okay, we're gonna save you. And like, they just go like, and kind of like look down at him like, and then they start fighting.
Now, the big guy that ducked, I had assumed that was Beta, but
except he got killed, right?
But then later on, a few minutes later, Daryl shoots A-Walker in the head, and I'm thinking, is that the same guy? Or was that
don't think, okay. That I know the actor who plays Beta.
Yeah, from
he's been announced. He was
Sons of Anarchy.
In Sons of Anarchy, he was in Bates Motel, which is another show I just binge-watched, and he had a fun, weird, quirky character in there. And so I'm excited to see him as Beta. But I'm also a little mad because, like, the reveal of it, the reveal of Beta in the comic was kind of an interesting reveal because he was a celebrity.
Yeah.
Like, when they pull off his mask, they're like, hey, isn't that famous football player?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And which I thought was a great reveal.
Maybe they'll do that. Hey, wasn't that actor on Sons of Anarchy?
That would be amazing.
He played Opie on Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, is that who it is? Opie?
I think so, right?
I haven't watched Sons of Opie. Anarchy.
The big guy. He's a good actor.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, yeah, that would be worth everything if they did that. It's the guy from Sons of Anarchy.
That's just like the book, but the movie that Kevin Costner did.
Dances with Wolves?
No, the mailman and the world.
Oh, yeah.
And he walks up to the dam.
The postman.
Yep. And Tom Petty walks in. Yeah. Aren't you? No, not anymore. Those days are bad. I'm like, going on. I can't remember who it was in the book, but it was somebody famous who met him. Anyways.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I'm saving him on PBR. So now that everything else is going on mid-season hiatus,
yeah,
give me a chance to catch up.
Did you read the latest comic of The Walking Dead?
Has there been a new one since we talked about it? Because I haven't gone to the LCBS for a few days.
Well, not surprisingly, this one had, because they have the new group of people that came in, right? Two of them were, and we haven't seen them for a long time in the comics. Two of them are up on the wall at Hilltop talking. I'm going, okay, they're on the show. Yeah, you're going to put them in the comic again. I get that. But it was kind of funny because...
Were they tagging Bink?
No. Carl was waking up in the middle of the night, and he's with the daughter of... Well, he's with a girl, let's just say that. But he gets up and he's walking away back to his room, and Sophia stops him.
Yeah.
Do you write?
Yeah, I remember that.
And she's talking about how there's no good boys here. And, you know, And he's going, aren't you going the wrong way to go to your room? And then all of a sudden she said something like, there's no good. There was, anyways, there was a sexual tension between the two of them. They just kind of look at each other and go, okay, see you later. Which is kind of way overdue. But anyways, so are you up to date on Doctor Who? Sunday
That's
night?
A giant yawn.
I think I so. Know. I think so.
Salem Witch Trials?
Yes, I saw the Salem Witch Trials. Was that
I thought
the
last
that
one? Was a great episode.
Really?
Did you? Really? I liked it.
Really? Okay, look, I'm not the massive Whovian that some people are. Looking at you, Dan.
Yeah.
But I watched Tom Baker episodes when I was a kid, and I've been watching it since Eccleston. I'm just not wowed by this season.
All right, let me rephrase that.
It is not what they call must-see TV.
Yeah.
None of the episodes are bad, that I really, but I'm
let's
not...
just say I found this is one of the better episodes. The guy playing the king, he's the same guy that played Nightcrawler in the X-Men movies, right? Yeah, so that was kind of cool. But I thought, again, it was like zombies-ish horror. I mean, I've seen worse new Doctor Who episodes. And how far back are you, Dan?
I still haven't watched any more since the Rosa Parks episode.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so two episodes ago, sorry, but I'm going to spoil it for you. There was finally a reference to old Doctor Who. Do you remember that?
No.
At the beginning when she gets the present.
Oh, the fez.
And she pulls the fez out of the package. Mm. She puts it on her head. Finally, some kind of reference.
Yeah. Spoilers, it's an episode about like an Amazon type service.
Yeah.
So I guess at some point in time when she was Matt Smith, she ordered a new fez and it arrives like then.
Just like Amazon service when Canada Post is on strike.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the joke, right? She's sitting there putting on this fez and, how does it look? And I'm sure Sam is just like,
I just thought it was
fezzes belong on cats.
I just thought last week was one of the better episodes, or this week, or whatever you want to call it.
It was okay, but again, like it just... Now, mind you, you know, I'm sure you can go back to Classic Who, and it's the same thing. There's some seasons that are just astronomically awesome, then there's some episodes and some seasons that, you know, there's just been a bit of a misfire, and it's not going, but I don't know, man. I'm just...
Let's say I'm really trying to like it. How's
that's the problem. That is the... You've just hit it right on the head.
And in this episode, I also found there was a lot of close-ups of...
Jody,
which was nice.
Like that, like you hit it on the head. We're trying really hard.
There are
like
some episodes I fell asleep and I have not gone back to watch them.
Exactly. But again, same thing happened with other seasons. Like Eccleston's, because it was new and fresh, I enjoyed absolutely every episode of Eccleston's.
Yeah.
But if you go back now after seeing some of the other episodes, go back to his season, like first episode's pretty darn weak.
Yeah.
You know, with the Autotrons or whatever they call them.
Yeah. Autons.
Autons.
Get out of here.
Well, that was very much like the last episode, right? It was like these guys that deliver.
Just because
the
I know what an
robots.
Imperial TIE Viper is doesn't mean you have to mock me. But yeah, I don't know.
Everybody's coughing. Small talk.
I think we got some bad oxygen in the room here.
Yeah, I mean, and you guys know that I am a huge Doctor Who fan,
yes.
But I'm having trouble watching for other reasons. Like normally I would just watch this on cable, but I don't have cable anymore, so it's harder for me to get to it. Mm-hmm. But it's also so incredibly polarizing online. Like everything I read, even just random comments, are like people going, Doctor Who is the most polarizing thing because if you're not allowed to dislike it. Like, it's Chris Chibnall is not a good science fiction director. I said it, change my mind.
Well, like I said, I mean, we're all sitting here, all three of us are sitting here going, you know, there's got to be a reason for it. You know, I mean, who do you blame? Like, the cast, you know, Jodie Whittaker and stuff. Okay, yeah.
Don't blame Jodie.
The whole debate, yeah, female doctor, blah, blah, blah. She's a great actress.
Mm-hmm.
She was freaking awesome in Broadchurch and some of the other things I've seen her in. She's a talented actress, you know, easy on the eyes and all that sort of stuff. I know that's important to you, Chris. But, you know, she's a great actress, so it's not like it's a lack of talent. The rest of the cast seem to be pretty good.
But how good... I would argue that being good at Broadchurch does not give you credit to be the doctor. That is not. She played a grieving mother whose son was murdered.
She's got more talent than Sylvester Stallone's brother.
I haven't seen him, so I don't know.
Like that's what I mean. Like, there's some actors out there that you're just like,
and she can only really do what she's told to do, right? Like, with absolutely anybody else.
Up to a point, I'm sure, like, you know, I'm sure that she was involved at some point in time in developing the character as to what direction, you know. I'm sure they asked her, you know, what do you want to do? And she's like, I want to do this. Like, I'm sure there's a collaborative effort there between her and the director to kind of find that voice of this new doctor. Like, and same thing, you know, like the first few episodes with Matt Smith are not the same as the last few episodes with Matt Smith. Same thing with, what's his name? David Tennant, you know, his first few episodes, not the same doctor as the last few episodes. That's the whole purpose. The character grows.
All I'm going to say is policewoman outfit.
Jeez.
Sorry.
So, yeah, like...
I'm sorry, but I was hooked at that point. Scottish policeman.
You absolutely said it best. We are trying hard to like it, and it shouldn't be effort.
And it's
should be easier.
To me, it's the little things. Like, the Fez was... I was so excited. But at the end of last week's episode, they, you know, the guy, whatever, 16th century, wherever this took place, they're walking up the hill, and there's the police box. Of course, they're going like, what the heck is that? You know, they're going, why are you guys getting in that? Say it. Just say it. It's bigger on the inside. Why can't you just say it once? I don't know. It hasn't been said once this season. It's just such a little thing.
Well, I mean, I brought a Mr. Miracle comic here, the last episode, last issue. And the one of the great things about the series for me is all of those historical callbacks to previous incarnations of them. So I completely get what you're talking about. Like, enough of this, hey, I'm a different doctor, and this is a different direction, and look, we're different, and look how different we are. You still gotta, like, tap into that old history.
Respect the source material.
You know?
To some extent.
Like, there's some things in... Like, when did Doctor Who start?
1963.
Since 1963.
November 23rd, 1963.
Since 1963 till now, that character has gone through tons of different changes, but there are still certain parts that make that character that character.
Yeah.
And each actor that came across embraced, now maybe they didn't right away, you know, but there's just certain things. Like, James Bond. James Bond does James Bondish things. But Roger Moore was a very different James Bond from Daniel Craig, and a very different Bond from George Lazenby, and a different Bond from Timothy Dalton. But they still, you know, they all drank martinis.
And slept with whatever woman they
found. You know, they all drove fancy cars.
Well, you know? But then you would just say the doctor has the TARDIS and it's a police box.
Yeah, so why not?
Which
why
they
not
actually
make...
changed with Colin Baker. For two episodes, he fixed the chameleon circuit, and the TARDIS wasn't a police box.
And very quickly, they realized what a mistake that was.
Yes.
So, like Chris says, why not put that line? You know, it's bigger on the inside, like they always do. I don't know. It's frustrating because, like you said, we're trying hard.
I don't know. Anyways. So yeah.
But it's only been a few episodes, right? Like it's not been an entire series.
More than half the season now.
Yeah,
because like, what are we up to? Episode 6. There's only 10 episodes.
Oh man,
I don't know.
The
when you
that
said
we,
that
the fact that we call 10 episodes a season just still kills me. That's not none of your fault, but it just drives me nuts.
When Dan told us that the Christmas episode was coming in January, that was like, ah, man, you guys just blew it. Like,
well, I don't know.
You had already blown it. But
they didn't have Christmas episodes in Classic Who, did they?
No.
But it's been the
only the Feast of Stephen
yeah.
from the Daleks Master Plan airing in 1960. I'll go now.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I mean, it's a passion of yours, so we get it. But I just don't know how else to say it.
So the Christmas episode is a new tradition, but it has been a tradition for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Also, like Doctor Who has aired on Saturdays for the last since it. Like, I might get yelled at on the internet because I might be wrong slightly, but like it's been on Saturday nights. As far as I know, with a few exceptions, occasionally it's bounced around Saturday nights from the time slot, but it has always been up against like tough programs on the other networks and come second, and they've moved it to Sundays where it has no competition now.
No competition in North America or no competition in England?
In England.
Yeah.
Like it used to be up against like X Factor or like Britain's Got Talent or like one of the things that lots of stupid people like... And now it's not. So
America's Got Talent and X Factor are excellent episode TV shows to watch in short little blurbs on Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know how somebody can actually sit there and watch like an entire hour episode of it. I like watching just like the highlights on the book face.
Or the low lights, you mean?
Well, it depends.
Highlights. Somebody with talent.
Like Piff the Magic Dragon is brilliant. Hi, my name's Piff. I'm a magic dragon. You may have heard of my brother.
Now,
Steve.
Speaking of some other Doctor Who, they re-released Shada, the lost Tom Baker episode. So what happened in like the late 70s or early 80s, the union went on strike during the filming of one of his episodes. And so none of the... None of the studio filming was done, just the location shooting for this serial called Shadow, which was the only one officially written by Douglas Adams.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
Because I am a massive Douglas Adams fan.
So they animated the missing parts and have just re-released this. And Tom Baker is back to voice them. And, I mean, there is a significant difference when it goes from him as, you know, a 40-year-old to him now. But... You know, I still love it. I would love to just listen to him talk about anything. He's just got one of those voices, you know?
Is the animation better than the one they had in theaters?
What was that? The Power of the Daleks?
Yeah.
Did that just pop up? That popped up in my notifications from like yesterday. 2 years ago, we went to see that.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. It's a different Which animation studio.
Which one of these
studio.
In my bio? Top one or the bottom one?
You want the top one. Yeah, cool. The top one. Also, they just announced that Tom Baker's final season, Sam's favorite season of his, is going to be released on Blu-ray in March. So that'll be the third Blu-ray season released.
Oh, okay.
And it'll be like
because the first one's actually physically out, though, right?
The first one's out, yeah.
Yeah, because I bought that.
And then Peter Davison's first season is coming out real soon. And then the next one, which is kind of cool because then we'll have two seasons in a row on Blu-ray. Tom Baker's last season and Davison's first season.
Are they like $100 each?
50 to 60.
Yeah.
So, but the BBC listened to my sole voice on this radio show six months ago when I said, you can have all of my money if you release them all on Blu-ray. And they listened.
They listened. Here they come.
So
I don't see the second season on Amazon here yet.
It's listed under the seventh season because they don't. It's just weirdly listed. But if you sort by like,
well, I just did Doctor Who, Tom Baker.
I just sort Doctor Who Blu-ray and then release date for the newest release date.
Here we go.
And Doctor you can do Who, that Tom too Baker, out there in the audience.
Seventh season. Why would they do that? Are they going to call the next one his eighth season, or are they going to call
Well, that's his last season, right? So it goes, well, that one ends with, and then that ends with him
so
regenerating.
So where's the second season?
They're releasing the best seasons first.
Oh, so they have
so they're
been
they're
doing...
picking and choosing.
All right.
Yeah.
So they did his first season and his last season.
Yeah. And then Davison's first season.
Well, then that makes sense, right? Because it was Tom Baker complete first season, and this is Tom Baker complete seventh season.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. I'm not lost anymore.
They've never had the older episodes on Netflix, which disappoints me. They have the newer ones.
They did for a while.
Yeah.
a random assortment. Yeah, like not
every single one, but they did. They had the, because I was watching the third Doctor.
Pertwee.
Yes. Alfred's dad.
John Pertwee. Yeah. Yes.
With the car, with the dandy suit in the car.
Yeah.
So I was watching that for a little while, but that was a bit slow, the first few episodes of that season, because his, to me anyways, his entire thing with that Doctor was UNIT.
Yeah, that the BBC decided they didn't want to put as much money into Doctor Who, so they made all of his stories Earthbound.
But UNIT was cool.
UNIT was cool.
What was the Colonel's name?
Lethbridge Stewart.
Yes. I thought he was awesome.
I remember when we went to see The Power of the Daleks, okay? Mm-hmm. Patrick Troughton's first episode from 1966. We saw it in the theaters 2 years ago, as I just mentioned. And you guys both left at one point. And I was like, man, they must not be having any fun. But, like, I'm a huge Patrick Troughton fan, and I had enthralled.
To pee. Yeah, so did I.
No, I had to pee.
Us older fellows have, like, to do that. Like,
I drank way too much
soda pop.
Like, nothing was getting me out of my seat for that one. But, like, I remember being in the theater alone for a few minutes while you guys were both gone and being like, oh, well, I'm not leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we didn't, like, leave.
No,
really had to pee.
Had to pee and get a snack or something. But,
I had to pee.
You know. Yeah, it is what it is.
No, it was pretty good. Anyways,
should we talk about comics?
Sure.
Eventually?
Probably.
As I mentioned, Mr. Miracle number 12. The end of the miniseries. Or maxi series, whatever they call it. I have loved this series. This series has just been incredible. And then this issue comes out. And all of a sudden it's like, I'm actually confused. I need to reread this issue because I feel like they pulled a Bobby Ewing.
Uh-oh.
And they just all episode, all issue, it's like Mr. Miracle going, oh, you're in a dream. You know, and there's a dead Darkseid talking to him like a ghost from A Christmas Carol going, oh, you're in a dream. You need to wake up. And then, you know, some other guy that died in the series, he's there. He's like, ah, you didn't really kill me. And then there's Orion. I'm like, oh, my gosh, tell me that the last 11 issues of this awesome miniseries has been a dream. I'm going to kill myself. Are you serious?
That was a good story, though.
Oh, it's a great story. It was a great story. And it was told really interestingly, and the art was kind of Vertigo-ish in terms of, you know, being a little bit more artsy. So I can see some people, like, not liking the art. But I thought it suited it great. Tons and tons of jokes and references. You know, in this one, this Funky Flashman, anybody who doesn't know who Funky Flashman is, he was the, Mr. Miracle is a god from the New Gods, from another dimensional planet-y thing, and he's the son of, like, basically, I don't want to be offensive here, but basically this guy's Jesus Christ. He is the son of one of the gods from the New Gods. And he's a master escapist, and that's his shtick, is he can escape. He escapes to Earth to avoid all that nonsense that's going on back home and becomes an escape artist. And he gets an agent, and his agent is Funky Flashman. And Funky Flashman is a very not-so-subtle knockoff slash homage to Stan Lee.
Oh.
You know, because Stan Lee with his Excelsior. So there's actually a panel in here where Funky Flashman's talking about, and he's like, you know, true believers, and don't worry. And he's like, you're just about to say Excelsior. It's like, and then something happens, and he stops talking, and you're just like, all right, Funky. So they kind of threw in a nice little Stan Lee homage there. And I don't think this issue was written after Stan passed. No. It came out after he passed, but it was just a nice little... It was just a nice little homage-y thing there. It's kind of, with great power comes great possibility, says Funky Flashman, you know? It's just like stuff like that in the book, and you're just like, ah, you guys get it. Like, Tom King wrote this, and he can just tell that he had passion for the character. Like, he knew the character really well, and he was just having some fun with it, and it was great. But, I'm covering my face with my hands here in pain and suffering. Just the idea that this was a make-believe fake story kind of... Ah, what a cheap way to just crush you. Like, yeah. If you're going to tell me it's an Elseworlds story from a different dimension and it didn't really happen, okay, I get it. But the whole, oh, you're dreaming.
Yeah.
You died in the first panel of the first issue when you committed suicide, and this is you for the last 12 issues, you know, bleeding out on your floor. And I'm like, oh, come on. No, no. But it was great. It was great. This is one of those books that I'm going to buy the hardcover, and I'll buy the absolute edition, and I'll buy like the trade paperbacks, and I'll read once a year for sure. You know, like V for Vendetta and Watchmen. I thought it was that good.
That's a lot of buying.
Because I'm an idiot. What did I just give you today? A Blu-ray of one of my favorite Justice League cartoons, because I have three copies of it.
The New Frontier, by the way.
Yeah, New Frontier, based on Darwin Cook's art. Oh, who wrote it? Did Darwin write it too?
I feel like he did.
I think the whole thing was Darwin. I'm sure he had some assistance with editing and lettering and stuff. I don't want to diminish that, but I feel like he wrote it and drew it. I just can't remember. But it is a great, great series.
So I've only read one comic in the past couple weeks, and that's one that you brought with you. Sally the Sleuth.
Oh, my gosh.
Got that one in.
Did you read the whole thing already?
I haven't read the whole thing yet. Just like the first maybe like 40, 50 pages.
Did you get the...
Yeah, I got that. You know what's super cool is that... So what came with our thing is like a sticker of a Leonard Kirk pinup or something, and we were watching Leonard draw that at the...
No, I've
convention.
Seen. I have a picture of Leonard drawing it, and I've seen a preview-ish image. But the one that, the one that he was working on is not this image. It's slightly different. I'll have to bring it out and show you the difference. But it is a little bit different. The other one had like this banner where it was covering up stuff. So anybody who doesn't know, Hope Nicholson is a young lady that's out there. And she has, over the last few years, done a really neat job of getting old Golden Age Canadian comics, hunting them down. Her first collaboration with Rachel Ritchie was Nelvana.
Yeah.
So they went all out researching, finding issues, finding pages, scanning them, cleaning them up, and publishing them as like a Kickstarter type thing and stuff. So they've done, together they did Nelvana, then Hope and Rachel broke off and started other projects. So Hope did Brock Windsor, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Rachel did Johnny Canuck. So, I mean, we're getting all these great Golden Age reprints. So when I saw that Hope was doing the Sally the Sleuth, I didn't even think. I'm like, yes, I want it. Subscribed, did it, everything. Kickstarter, Indiegogo. No, she used iFundWomen.
Yes.
A different crowdsourcing thing. Same idea, same concept. So I didn't really read
what
I was getting into. Yeah. So I finally got it, and I got the color edition. So some of the pages are in color. It's physically a little bit smaller than some of the other ones were. It's a soft cover. All my other ones are hardcover. And you know, the price was right, so that's not a criticism. You know, it's not
price,
like I...
Yeah, it was a very good price.
It's not like I paid hardcover prices and got a soft cover. Absolutely not, you know. Value for the money, it's very good. I just don't want to be too critical about it, but...
There's lots of boobies.
It's not Canadian.
It was never marketed as Canadian.
That's the whole thing. This is me not reading the project right.
You thought they were Canadian whites or something?
I thought it was a Canadian white story. It's not. At no point in time did Hope say it was. I think the volume is a little bit small. Like, it's not a big presentation book, but I was never charged for a big book, and the dimensions were specifically listed in the project.
Yeah.
There's lots of material in this
and
book.
And it was, it's a nice thick volume. There's lots of stuff in it. It's just more, it's about the size physically of a hardcover novel, whereas the other ones are a little bit bigger, more trade paperbackish size. But it's thick. I mean, there's a lot of pages here. There's a lot of great material. The color edition has a huge section of it in color, reprinting Sally the Sleuth. But like I said, you know, she's not a Canadian character. So I kind of...
You'll read next time.
Yeah, you know, it was like if I knew that it wasn't a Canadian white reprint, I would have thought twice, but I probably would have got it anyways.
Yeah,
you know, and I, again, like you said, nothing was falsely advertised. Everything was perfect. Everything's good. This was the right book. The other thing I was reading is, I guess she didn't get as much funding as she wanted to, and so some of the restoration work was changed or different, and I don't know if this is related to that or not, but some of the pages are really kind of...
Yeah, there's a few pages in there that are really fuzzy.
Now, the other thing is, what was the source material?
Exactly.
Like, are these scans from really beat up copies? Like, you know, some, even in the other collected editions that they did, some of the scans that they got from the pages were right from the Canadian archives, you know, museum quality copies. Some were from personal collections that may have been beat up to snot. So
yeah.
That might not have anything to do with it. That could have been maybe that was just the best scan that they had to work with, and I've done a lot of digital manipulation, so I completely get that. But other than that, I mean, this is a saucy minx of a character, and you know, there's a couple of adult themes. I mean, comics did have a bad rap back then for some of the stuff that's in here. You know, like she's a sleuth, so she finds herself in trouble with the bad guys on often occasions, and
mostly naked.
The first 40 pages are all like 2-page comics.
Yeah.
And in each one, her clothes get torn off to some degree.
Yeah.
But it's funny because it's an interesting sort of almost like an interesting document about comics, because those were pulp comics at the time. But then she grows with the medium and becomes like, the color ones are actually like wholesome comics where she's actually a detective and stuff, and not just some girl who gets her clothes torn off.
And again, there's no misrepresentation here. Like right on the cover, back cover, it says, warning for adult readers, only contains nudity and sexual violence. This collection features her scandalous adventures as a detective's assistant and original black and white appearances in the spicy detective stories pulp. Like, and anybody who thinks that anything that came out of Spicy Detective isn't going to be a bit risque is naive, you know. Yeah. So, I mean,
what's that one book that you like? Miss Tree, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like that, or?
No, Miss Tree was a little bit tamer, but
was it?
You know, it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet. I mean, I kind of scanned through it. I read one or two of those, like you said, those two-page
saucy
stories,
ones.
Some of the saucy ones. It looks great. I mean, it's got a retail price of $20 Canadian or $20 US, and that's a great value for the number of pages you're getting here. So if you do see this in Chapters or
20 Canadian
Amazon,
or 20 US?
Both.
Was that says here, in like
20 CAD slash 20 ago? USD.
Cool.
So it's a great reprint, you know. It was a surprise to me, but it was a good reprint. So I'm going to definitely read through this myself, and it looks good. And you know, I'm just looking at the funders back here. And
What was the error in the funders page to get you in there twice?
I don't know, but my name's listed twice.
I saw somebody else's name was listed twice, though.
I'm at the maybe is it because it was a typo, or did I somehow donate twice?
When
or?
You skipped a page. Because you're at the bottom and the top of a page.
Yeah, so it's Mark Cole, Martin Bruda.
There you go.
So I thought that was kind of funny. I kind of rubbed it in on the one Facebook group that, you know, I was worth being mentioned twice.
Can I have a little rant before we end? So,
a little one. We got like 6 minutes.
Okay, so I'm reading I'm behind as usual, but I'm reading the X-Men Black.
Yeah.
So I finally read the Emma Frost one. And I understand they want to change characters around and make characters female instead of male. And I love Thor, like Jane Foster's Thor. I love that. But the whole, did you read that X-Men Black at all?
Nope.
So the whole story is her trying to find Sebastian Shaw, who is the Black King of the Hellfire Club, right? So she finds him, they get in the big fight, and blah, 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 blah. She ends up defeating him, putting on some clothes and saying say hello to the new Black King of the Hellfire Club. And I'm just going like, okay, by definition alone, a king is a man. Is it not? Like,
tomato, tomato.
Is that just, but that's, come on. Like,
but there's always been this connotation that a king is better than a queen. Even though the queen can move far more paces than a king can on the chessboard.
Yeah.
However, the king is the object of killing, you know, like for the game. So,
just to be blunt, I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, Oh, I don't even know where.
So is she the queen and the king?
No, she's the king. She'll probably get her own queen. She's the Black King, who is the leader of, who's always been the leader of the Hellfire Club. Obviously, she wants to be the leader of the Hellfire Club, but I declaring yourself to be a king, even though you're a woman,
I don't know.
Sorry, I'm, people, but I just don't get it.
I'm good with gender fluidity and stuff.
I get that.
I don't care anymore.
But it's like, I don't even know what it's like.
Like, how many times do we walk around and say, hey, guys, and you're like looking at your female friends?
But it's been like that.
None of us have female friends.
Yeah. So. I just thought she could have just taken the role back as the Black Queen and be done with it. But,
well, if you kill the, well, yeah, I guess if you're in, if you're actual royalty and you're a princess and you kill the king, you don't become a king, you become a queen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways, I was liking the book, then I got to the last page and I'm like,
could have been worse. She could have said, I am now the Black Supreme Ruler.
I know, but still.
I am the Mega Royal. Like, you know, she could have come up with something cheesy, but
that was cheesy in my mind.
I'm not reading it. I'm trying to read Uncanny X-Men, even though it's like 10 issues, one a week. And the first one was like $900. I think the second one was $4.99. Maybe not. I don't know. It's just, X-Men was so good. Under Claremont and Leonardi drawing it and Mark Silvestri drawing it. And that drew me right in. Hardcore DC fan. Marvel sucks. You guys are all zombies. Marvel's gross. Wait, what is this? This is amazing.
Yeah.
And that was the book that brought me into the Marvel Universe. And I started reading Spider-Man and Iron Man and a couple of other Hulk runs. And they just haven't recaptured that flavor.
No.
It's just not the same.
Well, I know I mentioned this before, but when I finally started to actually collect comics, I went with something that was fairly new, which was X-Factor.
Mm-hmm.
It was on like issue 9 or 10. So I got one. As soon as I hit Fall of the Mutants, I'm like, well, I better get this X-Men book and these new mutants. I was like, oh my God, this X-Men book is awesome.
Yeah.
And it just exploded from there. Oh, right?
It was just so good.
It was like Doctor Who. I went back and got the other old issues. And
like, don't get me wrong. There were some towards the end there, Claremont issues that started getting really convoluted and too many, you know, subplots and stuff and victim of its own success. But those first issues, gosh.
Yeah.
That's all I want is I just want a really good cohesive, like you don't have to feature every single person who was ever an X-Men. I just read Fantastic Four number 3 and it's like every single person who was ever a member of the Fantastic Four is in it.
Even for a second.
Oh, really? I mean, you got to beat me over the head.
Shouldn't that number only be 4 people? Jeez. Well,
they were only ever members 4 at a time. But.
Yeah.
I think we're running out of time here.
Yeah.
And steam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Red Bull's wearing off.
The spicy Detective Comics used up all our energy.
It's got me all riled up now.
I don't wanna end on a downer note. It's a great volume. It you know, Price is Right. It's well done.
It looks like a lot of fun.
The few pages I have read were interesting, so I'm definitely going to put this on the top of the to-read pile. But if you know what my to-read pile is and the size of it, that's not that big of a problem.
Put it next to the bathroom door.
Yeah, exactly.
For like that's a good place to read.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alrighty.
That was all right. Okay. So I guess that's the end of the show then.
Yeah, everybody's yawning at the same time again.
All right. You know, the usual, you can check us out on Google Play, iTunes, or Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Tune in next week for another show. And that's all we got.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?